You can pick up voices.
How are you?
Time for hugs. Give people nominations. Time for hugs has come to an end. We are about to start the meeting. Let's give you a few minutes to settle down so that we start our first meeting in 2016.
Amen.
I'm giving you just a few minutes. Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Can we start? Compliments of the new year that is not so new anymore, because we are still going towards the end of 2016 now, January 2016, of the first month of 2016. But I hope that the members had a restful holiday and you found time to be with your families. As we said in the last meeting, that the time that we were going home, we needed to have to make time for our families, because during the year it's very difficult to make time for families. And I welcome you to this meeting. I know it was difficult, and we are tired. We are more tired than we were when we went away. I don't know why it was. Yes, we come back very tired, more tired. So it means that you must not go on holiday. That's what it means. You must stay here and do our way. I would like to welcome you, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, and I wish you a prosperous 2016, and I am hoping that as the committee as well, we will achieve the goals that we set for ourselves. And I was, you was laughing when I was saying, "Uvuke ucinga ntoni namhlanje?" When you woke up today, what was on your mind? And on my mind this morning, I was once a girl guide when I was young, and I don't know why I had this verse going in my mind this morning. I promise on my honor that I will do my best. You know, I had it in my mind. It was just playing like that, to do my duty to God and my country, to help people at all times. And to, you know, so I had it on my mind when I woke up this morning, and I think this is what is going to assist me during this year.
But you must also raise your right hand when you say
that. Yes, I know, I know. And I need to go back and revisit the laws, the guy's laws. The other guy is honest, all those things, but I've forgotten how it goes. But I'm welcoming you warmly to this meeting, and I know that we are an A team. We always do the best that we can in whatever we are doing in this committee. So I welcome you, and I hope that we will achieve what we have set to achieve. And this meeting, I trust that in this meeting, we would, as a committee, do a small reflection on the work that we have done, and also on the matters that are still outstanding, so that we begin to think of how we are going to handle 2016, because we all know that 2016 is a very difficult year for all of us. We need to double our efforts to achieve. And I don't think we'll be here, we'll spend a lot of time in our constituencies. So if that means that we need to double the effort on making the department account, because this is what we are about, making the department account. So we will not lose that area of ensuring that the department account. And we have done that successfully last year. But there are still areas. I think we will be briefed by the content advisor and the researcher on the issues that are still outstanding that the department owes us to give us an explanation. And some of the things are matters arising that are in the agenda for today. But unfortunately, the department has not given us this information. But this meeting was not meant for the department. It was meant for us as a committee to look at these issues and discuss how we go forward. And there is, honorable members, this issue of PESAL. The first time we came into Parliament, when we started in this committee, PESAL was on our plate. And we, as the committee, we did everything to ensure that PESAL delivers on its mandate. Our first, oversight, we ensured that we go to PESAL, and we did a thorough investigation, and we did thorough interactions with the people there. And we had our recommendations. But during the recess, the PESAL board was disbanded. And we are back, I won't say we are back to square one, but I think we've gone even far back than we found ourselves when we first came here. Because when we came here, there was a board, and we tried as much as possible to work with PESAL to ensure that they deliver on their mandate. But as it is now, with the board disbanded, we are nowhere, it will seem, because how do we go about doing our work? So I think these are some of the issues that we need to look at as the committee. Much as we are doing our work, but there are things that are pulling us backwards, which I think it is such a pity, because you are committed, the commitment that you show in doing your work is something that everybody would wish for. I'm welcoming you. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, members. We do have an apology from Dr. Masau. He is away on political work. We also have an apology from Dr. Esther Hazen, who is in another committee meeting. And we also have an apology for Dr. Makondo. He indicated that he's running a bit late, but he will join the meeting later.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, those are the apologies. Can we get what the members are feeling? These are the apologies that have been tabled. Are we accepting the apologies? Thank you. Thank you very much. And next in our agenda, we have those issues.
Chairperson, no, I don't want to make it complicated. You spoke about PESAL. We can discuss problem at the program for the next year or something. I just think I would really like to know the reasons and the discussion on that from the department. I know it cannot be done today, but it's not on the program. maybe we can discuss it there. When will either the minister or ever come tell us why he made this? Because it's quite a drastic decision. And I think you're right. We're back to square one, if not further again. Because the best board in the world you can appoint now, it will take them 2 years before they came where we were understanding the problem there. So there must be a very good reason why we are so back. So I just want to make sure that we get that discussion somewhere in the future.
Yes, Honourable Member, as I said earlier, that this meeting, today's meeting, is for us as the committee just to look at the next meeting. In the next meeting, we will definitely have the department. I think we will get an explanation in that particular meeting. Today is for us just to look at the work that is done and how we go forward. But in the next meeting, definitely, we will ask the department to take us through the reasons why this was done. Thank you. We have the matters arising, those issues that are there, and can Jabu, can you brief us on the issues that we have sent to the department, whether we have received any responses or not?
The first item there on matters arising was the request for the report, as discussed in the meeting on the 27th of October. Those reports that were requested from the entity that have still not been submitted by the department. The committee also on that same day requested that the department resubmit the PACOF presentation on the annual report and also resubmit the department's presentation on REP 103. They have yet to resubmit those presentations. I'm hoping that they will do so before the next meeting check or give us an indication of what's happening with the first item. With regards to the update on DAC and the SARA settlement agreement, nothing has come out of it yet, Chair, but I was told that there's a meeting today. There was a meeting today, scheduled today this morning, between the DG and the Department of Higher Education and Training and Dalinyate. So we have not received any report on the outcome as yet, but I'm sure Dalinyate will send us an email.
Those are the issues, Honourable Members. And I think what's important is that Ujabu follows up with the department, that when they come in the next meeting, they present to us what is happening in these areas. I think that's very important, that Ujabu, you make a follow-up so that in our next meeting, we don't hear that the department does not have the information or whatever, but we need to get this information. The reason why I said it should be on the it should be on the dashboard of the committee. Every issue should be here until it is resolved. We stay with the problem until it is resolved. Because if you don't do that with the Department of Arts and Culture, you lose it along the way. You lose an issue along the way. So these are the issues that I think are important for the department. Are there any issues that the members feel that are not in the list, so that if there's any issue, we can add it so that when the department meets us for the first time in 2016, they have all the issues that are outstanding. There being none, can we then go to the third item, which is the consideration of minutes? We do have the copy of the minutes with us. Can we look at the minutes? Page 3.
page 4. Okay, can we look at the second paragraph? The committee further asked if there was a policy or report on this. Yeah, page 4. That paragraph, the last page, on the security assets. Is that what it means? Page 4, the second paragraph. In the last sentence, the committee further asked the security assets. And again on page 4, the last sentence of the third paragraph, the committee further stated that are there any other issues on page 4? In the first paragraph, minutes are not taken for the meeting that they held. So is it titurate, effective titurate, is that word correct? Yeah, the it's page 5, the first paragraph, minutes were not taken for the meeting that were held, and so there was no data that the department could make use of in order to effectively
correct.
Is it correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very high English for us, not English speakers. I don't know where she learned that English, yeah.
I think we need to simplify, to demystify a bit. And on the...
As a doctor. That thing must be doctor to me, you're not allowed to talk.
On this paragraph of what Dr. Chiso said, the responded that this was an ongoing challenge. I had to read that several times for me to understand it. Dr. Chiso responded that this was an ongoing challenge. For me to understand it, I had to read it over and over again. I don't know. Maybe my mind is still on holiday. Can you stop?
I'm also trying to understand.
I think I understand, but I'm not sure I understand. Because one, people of, as I see it here, that people nominated themselves. Okay. Full stop. But then you should say, once these people have been appointed, they were found wanting or not available. So to just make it two separate sentences.
You won't know. I think Jabu, have you taken note of what the dog is saying? Okay, I think it's going to be better. Okay. Thank you very much. We are still on page 5. Is there anything else on page 5? We're on page 6. On this first paragraph, he wished to build the capacity of human resources in the department. That's what I was thinking as well. Yeah. And on discussion, I think as members, did you say you were happy? Or we noted the suspension of the CEO. I think this is how it should be put. That as members, we noted that. Okay. Is there any other thing? There being none, I put the minutes.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of this minute.
Adoption move? Accepted. Thank you very much, honorable members. We now move to the next item on the agenda. Which is the consideration of the committee program. This program is not something that is cast in stone, it's a proposal. Honorable Cosmo?
Sorry, Chair, sorry to take you back. I just want to take you that last sentence by closure, 11 this minute. Although it is technically correct, but the uninformed person won't read it correctly. She requested that the manager communicate with employees. Now, it's written here that the management to communicate with the employees.
She
requested that the management communicate
okay.
with employees.
All right. Okay, that would have taken note of that. Thank you very much. As I was saying, this is a proposal. It's a draft program. Because we took into cognizance the issues that we had decided that we were going to do last year, but because of the circumstances, we couldn't do some of the things that we planned to do last year. So we took, this is what we usually say to the department, that if you don't achieve what you said to achieve, bring it to the following quarter so that you know that what you said to achieve, you bring it to the following quarter so that by the end of the year you have achieved whatever you want to achieve. So this is what we did with this program. And we are appealing to members to look at it and suggest what you think we should do or how we should handle it. I think it's important for us to be open about this and say, okay, this is how we do it. Because as you can see, that with the fourth worker and Mtunduzi, these are the issues that we discussed last year, and we wanted to invite them so that they give us a picture of how, and especially the department, of how they plan to resolve the issue, because we can't keep talking about the same thing all the time. It's tiring. We need, when we raise issues, we want issues to be resolved. And if they are not resolved, they must tell us why they cannot resolve them and how. And we advise them on how we think things should be resolved. So this is why we have this issue in our program for the next meeting. And also,
Just say on that, on the next meeting, I think you're quite right, and I think it's important that we get them to explain. My only problem is, I feel strongly about Pansap as well. I think on the 8th of March, Pansap will be here, but you also said maybe the department will come and explain. I don't want to make that meeting too full of that. We can't give enough attention to the Nkongo and Fitzak Waliman issue. So I'm not exactly sure where we're going to get the Pansap one, because you said maybe at the next meeting. I think it's urgent enough for the next meeting, but we might need enough time for that other guy. So maybe the department can just give us a briefing after the Fitzak monument and Komo was there. Yeah, but I don't want to make it too full because of that issue. Yeah. So I'm struggling what's the best and most important one. I don't want to not prioritize this one, but I don't want to be too long before I get the answer from Potsdam. Otherwise, we get the minister here. I don't know who made the decision here or the department. I just want to get the reasons because I think I personally did a lot of effort in there, and I feel I wasted my time, you see, the way it was now handled, without telling us, without asking us, without maybe giving some reasons what happened. Something must have happened that we're not aware of, yeah.
Thank you very much. As I said earlier, that in the first meeting with the department, they will have to tell the committee what has happened and what the plan is. So I think it's important because if the board is disbanded, it means that the committee has to be involved, because when they advertise, we are the people who do the shortlisting and do the interviews. So we are going to be involved. So we need to know what exactly, why it happened, and what is going to be done going forward. I think it's very important. In the first meeting with the department, we need to get that information so that we prepare ourselves.
Technically the department is there on this issue as well on the 2nd of February. So maybe you might say, let's give the 9th February or something for the department to prepare specific on this issue. I'm not sure whether we are able to handle it because the department is here to briefing by the MDAC on the status of the future of the museum. So I'm proposing maybe we go to the 9th then and say, let's do that both, the audit of CAC and maybe Pansap or something like that, just to...
Yeah, I think the 9th would be appropriate because it doesn't have...
There's nothing else there, yeah.
There's
and then we might be in trouble on the 8th of March. I'm not sure if Pansap can have a quarterly report without the council. Maybe they can, I don't know.
I think it would be everything, not the quarterly report, just everything, what happened and what we do going forward,
yeah.
And what we end
Are there any suggestions on the program? Honorable Hussle?
Chair, I just lost you there quickly. Are you saying that the other briefing by the Fitzak monument and so on has been moved to the 9th, or does it stay
as
it
is? No, it's a program every week. Honorable Manager was raising an issue of
us getting a briefing from the department about Pansap. And so we were saying that the one on the Fort Rucker monument should stay that way because we don't want to cloud it with many issues. That meeting should be as if, so that we are able to understand why this thing why there is no change, why our recommendations are not taken into cognizance, and then try to influence the way forward. So we don't want many issues on that day. So then in the next meeting, we will get this information about why this happened, because as the committee, we feel that there's a lot of work that we have done. That we've done a lot of work with PESA. So why did it come to this point? And what is the plan going forward? And as I said, that when moving forward, as the committee, we'll be directly involved, because I believe we are the ones that do the shortlisting and the ones that do the interviews and then recommend to the minister. It means a lot of work for us. So how do we, what are the time frames? Which time frames are involved in this, if it's going to take that vote? Because if the board is disbanded, it means there'll be, they will have to advertise. And after advertising, as the committee, it will our base to shortlist and to interview and recommend to the minister. Honorable Khosbom, are you? You deep in thought.
Chairperson, you will pardon us. We take time to think because we are still on holiday. Pardon us.
Yeah.
On holiday. But I just wanted to check what you're saying in terms of the Tesla border. I'm a little bit worried. I'm one of those who are worried what is happening now. As much as I would have wanted, I think I agree partly with the minister that that was really was not a decision. So I want to check in terms of the legislation. What is the legislation saying with the issue of the board should be appointed after how long it is on leeway? And within the space, what is happening now? Who is taking the responsibility?
Thank you very much. This issue was taken to the office of the Deputy Speaker because it's that office that deals with the institution supporting democracy. It's that office that deals with this issue, and it was taken to that office. And I had hoped that a person from that office would come to the meeting and explain to us. Because I think with PEMSAS, there are a lot of issues that we need to deal with. And maybe I had even thought that we will have to come up with a member's bill in this issue if we want it to be resolved. Because it's the issue of the Constitution. This is a constitutional body. And you have the Act, and you have the PSMA, and you have all these acts, you know, sometimes not talking to each other. So I think I had asked that we get someone from the legal unit of the of Parliament to come and actually show us how these are linked and how the gaps are affecting the operations of PEMSAS. Because if you remember, PEMSAS was saying that they don't account to the department, although they get money from the department. And so we still have to look at those issues and see how we can maybe come up with a member's bill that tries to ensure that there is this, you know, there is this integration between all these acts, because there is a problem there. And I was hoping that the legal unit of the Uja, we have said that person would do this work of trying to assist us so that we are clear and take a concrete decision, because this will always come back to haunt us. This thing of PEMSAS will always come back to haunt us. Honorable,
No, I agree with you, because as a Chapter 1 institution, it really seems that Pansop is accountable to no one, and they also act that way. So in order to bring that to line, I think it must be brought under either chapter as the Chapter 1 institution, or integrated as the parliamentary research report suggested, that dissolve Pansop, have it integrated to the Culture and Linguistic Rights Committee, or to the other language board, because these all three of these that works with language and the traditional things seems to be, they are overflowing. There's no synergy, and they work in cross purposes, sometimes doing the same thing and sometimes different. So in lieu of that, either Pansop becomes a Chapter 9 institution, or it's integrated into the other language board. The one on cultural linguistic rights and so on.
Yes, and I have spoken to the deputy speaker, and he promised that he is going to give us a report on the meeting that was held in Pretoria with all of the institutions supporting democracy. So I think in that meeting on the 9th, we'll have to deal holistically with the issues that affect Pansop. Are there any other issues on the program that you'd like to deal with? There being none. We'll do this. We'll craft the program as the members have suggested, and then we'll circulate the new program accordingly. Thank you very much, honorable members. We will now have the oversight report. Our oversight was in Limpopo, and we had a very interesting oversight there, and dealing with issues that I think are close to our communities, your libraries, your artists in schools, and your community art centers. And can we have that report? Jabu, are you going to take us through the report? Have members had an opportunity to read through the report? We are receiving it for the first time here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I need to give the members an opportunity. Maybe we can adopt the report in our next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because it wouldn't be fair to say to members, we must take a decision now. Because we need to read through this report, because at the end of the day, they become public documents, and they should reflect what we as the portfolio committee are saying. We will then move to the item number 6, which is the outline by content advisor and the researcher. Over to you, Sam.
Good morning, honorable members, chairperson. Well, when putting together this report presentation, we thought of things that we covered last year but remain unresolved, and also looking into the state of the sector and things that probably should influence the oversight program of the committee in 2016. Well, I must say that we're dealing with this issue at a very critical time when the work of this of the Department of Arts and Culture is put under scrutiny, because the recent social media fact that emerged early this year on racism talks exactly about the work of nation building, which is the core of what this department is entrusted to do. So it then requires that the portfolio committee should also find a way of assessing the extent to which the department responds to those issues in a way that it's stressing their programs on nation building and the realization of non-racialism as espoused in the Constitution. So also, last year there were two major characteristics that happened. Earlier we had the situation of the challenge to our monument structures, and the department responded to that, and later on there was the emergence of the March Fall movement. So those are areas that require the department to strategically reposition its program in order to respond to the challenges that are raised by those issues. So the department and its entities, I think, should move from the scenario of being reactive and reacting to particular incidents to a situation where there are clear proactive stances it takes to address issues that are raised in society. So it means the whole issue of how this department deals with nation building and planning proactively to come to under scrutiny by the committee. Well, the first part of the presentation is very generic, talk about the role of committees and the role of parliament, which is not that much necessary. I'm sure members are aware of it. But now the key issues, I've spoken about racism and nation building. So the second issue is the issue of the white paper and the legislative review. In 2004, over 10 years ago, there was a government decision to review the policies that have been implemented since 1994 in the department. That led into the publication of two volume reports, very good reports with recommendations on the review of the legislation and the amendments thereafter. But there hasn't been much in terms of getting this amendment legislation to Parliament. There's a lot of talk about that, but this hasn't been seen to Parliament. But I think the committee as a legislative body should conduct an oversight on this matter, because it's very important that some of these legislation are amended to ensure that they streamline service delivery. So as the white paper, the review of the white paper has been going on for the past, now the active review has been going on for the past 5 years. So there isn't clarity, and that also leaves a lot of uncertainties. As you will see, I've seen the report on NOME, on the future of NOME Museum. Right at the end, it awaits the policy. So if it awaits the policy, and the policy has been on active review for the past 5 years, then that means that the future of many institutions is on hold because the policy has not been finalized. So I think the portfolio committee should also look into this issue. When linked to that is also the next bullet, the policy gaps and limitations. You have a situation where policies are on the ATP, but without seeing those policies adopted and published, they are not delivered in that financial year, and the following financial year, we expect to see them, or with the finalization, but it's suddenly not on the APP. So it means, like for example, the National Museum policy, the policy on repatriation of human remains and the maintenance of such graveyards. So those policies are very crucial in the management and the preservation of our heritage. So I think the portfolio committee should also provide robust oversight on this policy. With the issue of governance of entities, and especially in this case, and the management of Robben Island Museum is also crucial. Members will remember where this committee and the department, as well as the council of Robben Island Museum, are coming from, where the institution was in shambles and things were falling apart, and at one stage, the World Heritage Status was, there was a threat of withholding the status. So when things are all together, having been put together by the council, as well as hard work by the department and management, currently, since the departure of the CEO somewhere in October last year, the institution has not been able to appoint a new CEO. A board member is acting as a CEO, and the term of council is coming to an end at the end of March. So the contract of senior management or senior managers, some of them are coming to an end, and without the board and the CEO, you are likely to run into a potential crisis. So I think the portfolio committee should also deal with this aspect. And linked to that is the whole issue of facilitating the appointment of counsel early enough to ensure that there is a proper handover from the old counsel to the new counsel. It's something that the department is struggling to do, but that is how it should happen. Because quite often, if the institution is lucky enough, the board or the council starts after other council terms have expired, or months when there has been a gap, and that creates a lot of problems. The question of Windebrow Theatre, Parkhof, those institutions remain in crisis. We noted, I saw last weekend, Sunday, that Nelson Mandela Museum advertising the position of the CEO, which is commendable. It means they are going to appoint the CEO soon, and the institution is going to be on a good foot. Yet, there isn't clear indication, especially with Windebrow. So I suggest that the committee find a way of intensifying its oversight, especially with the two institutions. Also, in terms of GREB 103, the issue of compliance, the Minister of Finance, after being requested by the Minister of Arts and Culture, did issue a letter basically postponing the compliance with GREB 103 to 2018, if I'm not mistaken. Well, that is good. 2018 is just by the corner. And for institutions to comply with GREB 103, not unless it is funded, come 2018, they will be in the same situation as they were in 2015. Because it needs funding. You need to plan and fund the auditing as well as evaluation of museum artifacts. Especially for institutions that have collections over a million. We're talking about East Vigo, which has collections over 1.3 million. So it would be almost impossible for them to conduct or to comply with this GREB standard if there isn't a financial intervention from somewhere. Also, the issue of the re-examination of the funding formula. This is also an item that is often linked to the policy or the white paper. But why the white paper is being drafted and drafted and drafted, institutions suffer because the funding formula that still exists supports or is still based on the geo-apartheid structure which supports institutions that were established in critical cities like Bloemfontein, Cape Town, Pretoria, Durban and Pietermaritzburg, which is problematic. When the committee started, there was a letter or a request from a theater in PE requesting to be considered, and they're saying Nazis in Aban. And they've gone to an extent of categorically examining the funding of the department and how they argue the department select unfairly other institutions at the expense of the others. And the fact that there isn't a theater that the department funds in the Eastern Cape, they argue that this was not a fair distribution of resources, which is true. So the funding formula, for me, there is no need to wait for the white paper. The department should be put under pressure to develop a funding formula, even if it is an interim intervention, so that it addresses the imbalances that were established pre-1994. And the next issue is it relates to the entity's management. The enforcement of the law as well as regulations, including the King III Court, with regards to the constitution of audit committees. It's an issue that was raised with regards to the State Theater and a number of other institutions where the impartiality and the independence of the audit committee was found wanting, because it was firstly dominated, the majority of the audit committee members were council members, and secondly, the chairperson of the audit committee was not an independent chairperson, was a council member. And that creates problems. Other than impartiality and independence, it also means that when the term of council comes to an end, the audit committee would also cease to exist, because it would not be able to correct. But what has been happening is that when the term of council comes to an end, because audit committee members has the majority of external members, it is able to continue with the work of oversight up until the minister appoints the new committee. But it's a different scenario when the majority of the members, and including the chairperson, is a member of council, because it means when their term of office comes to an end, in fact, even the oversight responsibility that is entrusted to the audit committee cannot continue. Also, the appointment of council and board on time, as well as competency that needs to be taken into consideration. It's the same, probably the same reason why there were a lot of problems with the appointment of the board of PENSA, because in that board there were critical competencies that lacked. Well, it might be because of the responses that were received, but you do need, or portfolio committee should provide robust oversight into this area, because in as much as there is the threat shortage of skills, and also because of the fact that the money that is paid to these council members is not as big as with the state-owned enterprise, so the level of incentive is a bit low, but there has to be a responsibility to ensure that sufficient skills that are required for the board to operate are there. Because it becomes a bit problematic if critical skills are lacking in the board. And that would mean that as the accounting authority, it would not be able to exercise its oversight function. And it's part of the reason why the Auditor General would find that of the financial statements that are submitted to them, they call it a financial misstatement, because members of the board do not have skills to pick up those aspects. You would expect that a properly constituted council at least has one member who is a chartered accountant. And that helps to scrutinize those areas at a level of the audit committee before it even comes to the full council. And when it appears to the full council, even if it has escaped the audit committee, a chartered accountant will be able to pick up on these issues. But without that skill in council, then it becomes problematic. So it's an aspect that the portfolio committee would have to provide extremely robust oversight on. Well, there has been a deliberation on the dissolution of the board of PENSAS and the way forward, so I'm not going to talk about that. The plight of South African musicians and royalties. Members will remember that last year there was a presentation by SAMRO, and this issue was raised. It's a very contentious issue because it does not only talk about the work of this department, also talk about mainly the work of ICASA and SAPC, because I find it, well, I think there could have been a better way of handling it. If you look at the situation where South African or we ship more money mainly to US than to our artists. And I think there is something that needs to be done to change or to change the music policy so that it becomes more Afrocentric and it benefits our local artists. Also, there is a lot of work that has been done in the sports fraternity to look into the life of sportsmen. I think because of there are a lot of similarities between artists and sportsmen, and probably there has to be some lessons that we, the department, can learn from how the sports department has been able to deal quite usefully with the issue of looking after the life of sports people. Well, also another issue was the legacy project. I think there was a planned oversight job that could not take place because of the industrial action that was in Parliament. The legacy project remains another aspect that needs thorough oversight. The manner in which the legacy projects are distributed, members will remember the presentation by the department. So, in this case, the oversight has to be twofold: influencing the new legacy projects in such a way that they are balanced and also in provinces that have been neglected previously, because these legacy projects, while they are meant to correct historical imbalances, they also play a pivotal role in developing local economies in small towns and rural areas where they are, and also in terms of the delivery of these legacy projects and the delays that are associated with them. So those are the areas of robust oversight that is required in the legacy projects. With the issue of the expenditure of the community library conditional grants, the reports and the oversight of Limpopo based testimony, a province of the size of Limpopo in terms of the population, cannot receive less than that of the Northern Cape. So it has been reduced. The committee was informed because of lack of expenditure with the problems that were associated with expenditure in the province. And even when it has been reduced so low, but still there are problems. And not only Limpopo, other provinces as well. But also I think the committee will also need to be careful when doing oversight on this, because if one look at the report at a superficial nature, it indicates that three provinces are doing well: KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, and Western Cape. But when you go deep, you find that these provinces, they transfer to municipalities. Whether this money is actually spent by municipalities is another issue. Because I think also the committee will have to so whether this money is spent by municipalities on time. Because you might find that, in fact, the expenditure that you see in the Eastern Cape is, in fact, similar to other provinces. Because what other provinces are able to do is to clean their books and move the money to municipalities. So I think the committee would have to take a people-oriented perspective when doing this oversight and less political-oriented. I know it's difficult for politicians, but funding the arts, wow. This is a big challenge. And I've listed two sub-bullets, pushing the apartheid boundaries and the arts, culture, and heritage funding in South Africa. With the funding of our institutions is still not reflective of the transformative agenda of this country. In a way that members will remember when the National Arts Council and Lotto Commission came to the committee, it was clear that the high probability of funding goes to Gauteng. And not only Gauteng, just Johannesburg. Because it's not Sibanye, it's not East Rand, and it's not Tshwane. I think there has to be robust oversight in order to ensure that this is changed. Because Gauteng alone needs to benefit, and other provinces need to benefit equitably, especially rural provinces. Yes. Yes. Free State and not Bloemfontein. And also what has happened. In 2002, I'm just making an example to illustrate it in this point. The Department of Arts and Culture issued a request for a request for proposal for something it termed the transformation budget. That request came around late November. I remember we had to work throughout Christmas to ensure that the funding proposal was ready by the 31st of December, as per deadline. It also happened in 2003. But in 2004, that money was meant to support institutions to transform their collections and to transform their exhibitions. Precisely because even though the department transfers about 81-82% of its budget to entities, the large proportion of it goes to personnel, and it leaves very little for those institutions to develop exhibitions. And basically what it meant was that without that transformation budget, the call to transform exhibitions was not going to be realistic, because institutions were still having those exhibitions that they had before 1994, because there was no funding to develop new exhibitions and new collections. That happened for 2 years. But after that, that money was moved to the new body at that time, the National Heritage Council. Transformation takes time, and it cannot happen over 2 years. What has then happened is that over time, the scope of funding of the National Heritage Council has also changed. Now, the National Heritage Council does not fund a DAG institution, and basically saying it is not funding institutions that also receive funding from Treasury. Problematic to that is that when the National Heritage Council was proposed in the 1996 white paper, it was intended to be a vehicle that will fund heritage, that will also facilitate the transformation of heritage through policy formulation. But now, as then, institutions of the department, we're talking about museums mainly, cannot benefit from this funding because they are receiving from the same treasure. And well, there hasn't been much about it because there was still the national lottery. But the Lottery Commission, after the changes, also is now saying no, institutions that receive funding from treasury are not going to be funded from lottery. So basically what the new dispensation now for the arts, culture and heritage funding in South Africa, it's moving towards NGOs. But what it will then do subsequently, it will kill the existing institutions which have more profile, maybe not that much transformed, but I don't think you need to kill our existing institutions. Because with the exception of Robben Island Museum, all other institutions do not raise revenue, including theater. Robben Island is the only institution in the family of DEC that is able to raise more than what it receives from DEC. So I think this is a kind of a complex issue, but it needs the portfolio committee to take it to the next level and have serious consideration with the sector, especially with these funds, because the National Lottery was established to fund the charities as well as sports, arts and culture, because it has been proven that governments throughout the world are unable to fund these key areas because of other demand from somewhere. And the lottery model, it's a model that was borrowed from overseas in order to assist in funding. Okay. Then the revitalization of the National Archives, the new long-awaited appointment has finally take place. The National Archives has a National Archivist. Finally, but the National Archivist, the appointment of the National Archivist is not going to solve all the problems of the National Archivist, because it's just one position out of many vacant posts in the National Archives and many years of neglect of the National Archives. So there has to be a continuous oversight to this area. One aspect that myself and Fiona picked up last year is that the National Archives and Records Management Act, the National Heraldry Act, the National Geographical Place Names Act, can't remember the other one, they require that the National Archives Advisory Council, which is a body established to oversee or to advise the minister on the archives, the heraldry, the geographical place names, submit or table annual reports to the minister. I mean to Parliament. And that has not happened in the past 5 or so years. No. At one stage, because we did a bit of research trying to establish why this is the case, the department was saying no. At one stage, the previous DGs felt that those annual reports were in fact a duplication of the department's annual report. But my argument was that they should not have stopped it, but they should have amended the act first. Because you cannot justify your actions if it is required by the Act. So whatever that the Act says you must do it. If you think that it is not right, then change the Act. But this was not the proper answer. This annual reports are required because in the annual report of the department, the National Archives only get the paragraph. So this annual report would enable the committee to provide proper oversight to the National Archives, to the Geographical Place Names Council, and to the Heraldry. And those issues are very important because for oversight to take place, you need to understand what is it that the institution has done. Have proper consultation taken place when names were being changed, or have names been changed at all? Because the situation is that provinces at some stage say their provincial committee are unable to move because they've recommended to the national committee, and the national committee has not been able to approve or to adopt those names to the minister because it only meets three times a year. And there are thousands of names coming from the nine provinces that are supposed to be considered by this committee that only meets three times a year. So there is a lot of work in terms of oversight that is required, especially in that area. And lastly, during the oversight program of the committee, links with the national development plan and broader goals of the state, there has to be that holistic link. How the program of the department, as well as specifically entities, because members will remember that last year there were APPs that we identified did not even have the word national development plan. And if you look at those strategic, APPs, going back to 2009, they were more or less the same. Meaning that even though the delivery environment has changed so drastically, but they have remained more or less unchanged. And this is true, it can only be through this oversight that they would change and be in line with the goals of the state. So I think broadly, those are the issues that myself and Fiona were able to pick up to be the guiding kind of key areas of oversight 2016 and going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. You're making our job difficult. You're complicating our job. We thought we had all, organized and planned. But I think we thank you as a committee, we thank you very much for this. But I believe that you also have a lot of work to do emanating out of this. Let me just have comments or questions from the members. But I think what is important is that we need to have a program that emanates out of the presentation that you have given us. But I think from last year, if you remember, with the one with musicians, the other one just go on the other the one with musicians and royalties. We have said as the portfolio committee, we need to have a meeting with the chain of all the people that are involved in this. Because if you remember, if you talk about there was something that was called middle time, and this middle time we had that it goes overseas, a big percentage of it goes overseas. So we said, we want all the people that are involved in the music industry in one room so that they don't point fingers to someone who's not here. When they say it's the distributors that have a problem, the distributor will be here to answer for themselves. So I think we need that meeting, maybe in whatever quarter, second quarter or third quarter, but it has to be well organized so that we ensure that our artists benefit what they are supposed to benefit. And if you look at the news that is being played on TV, sometimes during this week or so, I took a conscious decision of looking at the TV and looking at how our music, the music from South Africa is played. And I was shocked. Even the films that are played on TV, if you look during a specified time, you find that most of the films that are played are from overseas. They're not films from here. I think we need to have that conversation this year of all those people that are involved, so that at the end of the day, we ensure that the artists, our artists, are not just things. As I'm saying, that most of the youth have to go back and do a lot of work as well. Like, if we can get this law, the legal framework within which we operate, and just to say that there are gaps there, so that as the committee we are able to identify exactly what has to be done, so that we can dictate on when it should be done. And the department must provide, we've been asking for this for a long time now, that they must provide us with the boards of all the entities and the expiry date. In fact, what we said as the committee is that as the department, there should be just a system within the department that actually flags when the time is about to expire, 6 months before the expiry date of a board, to say, in 6 months' time, a red light should be flickered to say there's a danger around here. In 6 months' time, the time of the board is going to expire, so that the department can get enough time to advertise and to do all those things that have to be done. When the time expires, the new board is coming in, there's this handing over that is meant to ensure that there's a seamless operation within the entity. And with the 80% of the budget of the department going to entities, as the portfolio committee, we have no other way but to focus on entities. And we must make the department, and we have done, yes, we've gone a long way in doing that as the portfolio committee, to ensure that the department focuses on entities, because 80% of the budget goes to entities. I'm now going to give an opportunity to honorable members to ask questions and to make comments. Over to you, honorable members. Honorable First Form.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you also for the presentation. I think right at the beginning, when we started, I did ask about the funding model of the department to entities. And maybe I should rephrase my question and to what is the current funding model? That means what informs the funding to institutions? That's the first question. The second one is that concerning CEO of Windy Brow Theatre. Now, there's still a forensic report outstanding on Windy Brow that we haven't been briefed on, and what were the findings on that, and also the report on the state of the renovations at Windy Brow. I would like to find out when we can have a full report or briefing on Windy Brow as such. And then the thorny question that has been, that has been elaborated on was the funding of projects in the province. That we get a report on because what is currently happening? Yes, DAF does fund projects in the provinces, but the funding, does it go directly to the institution or to the program that's being funded? These channels through the department, provincial departments of art and culture, or is it done through the municipalities? To what extent? I think those are the only two issues or questions that I would like to pose and have some, you know, answers on. Thanks.
Chairperson, I just want actually to repeat what you said. Now, if 80% of those are the main part of the department's job, and all have got councils, so important what you've been telling me. It's so simple to solve that problem with 6 months before the council sort of at the end of the term. You just take an iPhone or something like that and diary that ahead of time and get somebody, a jockey on the job, and say it's your responsibility. Because it happens now, we go into trouble, then it's a long fight, then we appoint the board, and then we lost about 1 year or whatever on the work that they can do, and there's no continuity normally. And we lose a lot of valuable time, therefore, with a new board not getting into the office immediately. So the department must just give us how they're going to solve that one. I can't understand why it can't be done.
Thank you very much.
The question mine is just a comment on the part of the team that has developed the report, and I really want to commend them for the presentation. The presentation is good. It is also, I think it has paved for me a way to go and really look at the issues that they have raised. This is my understanding, so that as we engage with the department and the entities from now, if this is going to be as easy, not so easy, but at least we are moving from somewhere. Thank you for the report, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. If you remember, when we started in this committee, the funding formula was one of the issues that we raised from the onset. It is something that we raised from the onset. And it is something that we raised sharply with the department, because the reason why I'm saying that we raised it even sharply, we were saying that it's like you got into the apartheid bus and you drove off. So find ways to ensure that you revisit this funding formula that you have, as Dambo was saying. But the department is not coming back to us to tell us how they are going to change the situation around. They're not coming back. Maybe in your communication job, in the meeting where we are going to meet with the department, they need to tell us the issues that are being raised here. Some of them are issues that were raised with the department, but there are issues that the department just gives us the information. Yes, Ngingisela, it's just like giving us the information that they want us to know. And I think, as Honorable Bullet is saying, going deeper into this issue is going to assist not only us, but the department as well. And I believe this committee is doing a lot of good work to even ensure that the department does its work. As I said, we are not only overseeing what the department is doing, but we actually assist them to do their job better. This is what this committee has been doing in the past year. And we are raising these issues to ensure that they do the work to the best of their ability. Do you want to say something on the issues, the other issue that was raised by Honorable Fulton? But I think the department should give this answer. But if you have information, you can assist.
No, Chairperson, you're quite correct. In fact, I've even noted here DAC, DHVR, because it is the department that should respond to these issues. The only area where I can respond is with regards to the funding of the arts. It's also a concern that was raised in Limpopo. What happened is that department through the Natural Places Council or through the Mzansi Golden Economy funding would send a call for projects, and then they fund them directly. Sometimes the same project will be funded through the Provincial Arts Council, and the same project sometimes would be funded through the Lotto, and the same project can be funded through DTI, because there is no single portal where one can check, but there is the possibility of double dipping somewhere or triple dipping. So municipalities or provinces sometimes are not aware, because there aren't systems that are developed to integrate the funding or the funding or streamline the funding, so that when, for example, NAC, the National Arts Council, receives a proposal of, say, 200,000, it funds, say, 60%. The other 20% is funded by the province, and the other 20% is funded by local government. So that when this project is taking place, it is also linked with IDP. So we're not yet at that level where there is that highest integration of delivery and funding. So yeah, that's the situation that we find.
Yeah, and I think also, look, and I talked about illegal framework earlier. I think it's important for us to look at these laws that that influence the work of the department, and so that we can ensure, because if you look at the provision of libraries as well, it's something that is very complicated. Meanwhile, we know that constitutionally, libraries are a competence of the province. But you still find that municipalities are involved in the building of libraries. You know, so what should we? What should the department do? How should this be handled? Because I think it's really complicated, and you find that people on the ground are the ones that are suffering. People that should be provided with this service. I think we need to have to identify, because it's clear to me that we won't do everything during the 4 years that is left, but identifying those areas that have a big impact on our communities, and to have a focus on them. And I'm hoping that as we go, the members will be in a position to identify, because last year, after our strategic planning meeting, we had identified National Archives as one of those areas that we're going to focus on during our 10 years. And also, I think the libraries should be one other area of focus, and the issue of the artists. But I think when we have our strategic planning session, the members will identify those areas, so that in our programming we are focused, because it's very important. This department is so broad, and you can't do everything, but you have, for us to have an impact, we need to focus, so that the legacy that we leave, people will be able to say, during this 5 years, this is what they were able to change, this is what they have achieved. So I'd like to thank you very much, Damgo and Fiona, for the presentation. And as Honorable Suleti said, it's really assisting us, and it's going to assist us to think about issues that we want to handle. We need to have our own APP as the committee. What are we going to do during this year? And planning is very important. I think we need to do our own planning, as we require the department and entities to have their APP. We need to have our own strategic plan and our APP, so that we are able to measure ourselves as well, because doing work and measuring ourselves is very important. So I would like to thank the honorable members very much from the bottom of my heart for their commitment and the manner in which we do our oversight in this committee. And I know that it's not easy, but it's always about the people that we assess. This is what I like about this committee. It's never about us as individuals, but it's about the people that we are serving. So I would like to thank you very much. And I think we've covered all the items on the agenda, but the report on the oversight, we can go and hear and read, and then in our next meeting, we will be able to adopt that report. I want to thank you very much, and I declare the meeting closed.
And if I may add, you can stop paying this guy for making more trouble and more work. We're fighting a local, we're fighting a local election. We don't have time for all of this, you see.